Welcome back, everybody, to It's Beyond Complicated, the Boomer Humor Radio Show, where we talk about all things for boomers, but if you have a pulse, you can enjoy us too. And today, our special guest is Mr. Merritt Rathje. He's going to talk to us about wines, not the wines, but the delicious drinking wines. And he is a wine enthusiast. And welcome, Merritt. How are you?
I'm excellent. How are you?
Good. You're not drinking any wine right now, are you?
Wait a minute. It's like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Of course I am.
All right. Great.
What do you have with lunch?
I know. Well, if we were in Europe, we would be having that, wouldn't we?
Yeah, but...
They drink with every meal, don't they?
Yeah, let's move on up. You know, I mean, the difficult part is pairing Cheerios.
Ah, you got a point there. So tell us a little bit about your background. I know that you know quite a bit about wines. I know you've had a radio show. Was it called Uncorked? Is that correct?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. So, well, tell us a little bit about your background and how you get into enjoying wines and becoming an expert and all that good stuff.
Well, I hate to use the term expert because that is thrown around so much. It's like chef. A lot of people think, well, you're a chef because you were in the restaurant business forever. Well, my soups and sauces are a little weak.
Oh, yeah.
It's like when it comes to wine, I wouldn't consider myself an expert because I'm not a sommelier. You know, a sommelier is a person that takes courses, usually out of England. There's an outfit in England that they're at different levels.
A sommelier is the French term, the definitive term of a wine expert. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think direct French to English, his translation is cork dork.
Ah, that's a good one. A cork
but
dork.
Seriously, yeah, a lot of sommeliers, you know, you don't have to work in the industry to be a sommelier. I know a lot of people are sommeliers because they just like are way into wine and they just wanted to learn more.
Is that how you got into it?
I'm sorry?
Is that how you got into wine just because you just loved it so much?
No, I was making money. I was in the restaurant business forever. I was a GM for Fridays and worked on cruise ships and stuff like that. And to be successful in the restaurant business, you have to know wine and beer and liquor, as well as food.
I would think so.
Yeah, well, you've got to remember that there's a lot of people can put wine and liquor and food out on tables. It doesn't make a restaurant.
So
you put the ambiance with it. It's just like there's no restaurants on the moon because... there's no atmosphere.
Exactly. So what do you do? Do people ask your advice? Like, I know you said you were a wine and spirits broker. Do you educate people, restaurant owners and stuff, on what they should have? Are there trends that happen in the wine business like anything else? Or
Yes, and yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a lot of education. I do seminars to a lot of sales staff, both in retail and in restaurants. I also advise folks as far as you don't have to have Kendall Jackson and Sutter Home just like everybody else in the world on your wine list.
Right. That seems to be true. You know, you're right about that. Restaurants all seem to be carrying the same wine all the time. It's always Kendall Jackson or just what you said.
Well, as people in the industry, we go into restaurants, and we get to pick up a wine list and go, oh, that's a Southern Wine and Spirits list, or that's a National Republic list, or that's a Premier list, because the people like Kendall Jackson or Sutter Home or whoever, Santa Margarita, mm-hmm. are making millions of dollars from these distributors, and they're saying, okay, every time you want to write a wine list, you've got to put us on there. Well, you put together all the million-dollar makers that they've got, you got a whole wine list, and you can tell what distributor put it together.
Ah, that makes sense. But they are open to suggestion if you want to suggest different wines that restaurants will take your word?
Yeah, the more forward-thinking restaurateurs do, and I don't say this to be condescending, but I find that the more progressive sommeliers and people that are running wine lists are women.
Mm-hmm.
Because...
We tend to drink a lot because we have to interact with men.
Yeah, it's the old saying about there's the signs that say men at work. Women don't have to put those up because they work all the time.
Ah, I love a man that panders. Well, Let me ask you this.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely is right. Let's talk a little bit about the wines themselves. Are there any trends right now that to speak of? Like, I know Merlots were in for a while, then we had the Shirazes were in, and what's happening now in the wine industry?
Well, we're just coming off, as you said, Merlot was very big, and then we went into Pinot Noir from the movie. You remember the movie?
Mm-hmm. I do.
Yeah, and I can't think of it offhand, but it was very big, and it really kicked off Pinot Noir, which is just excellent.
That was the movie. That was the movie Sideways with Paul Giamatti.
Yes. There's a couple of good movies out on wine, but Sideways, that's just very, and not only that, it's a real enjoyable movie. But they kind of killed Merlot, and they brought up. Now we're going through Pinot Noir. The big wine people have been trying to get Syrah or Shiraz, same grape, depending on where you get it from, to go. But, I mean, consumers are the ones that really make it happen. And I think what it's setting in now is reality. People are realizing or facing up to the fact that they like sweet.
Yeah.
Not sweet like White Zinfandel, but sweet like fruity, like Rieslings.
Like a Riesling.
Yeah, that seems to be very, very strong now because it's what we call medium dry.
I see.
A lot of fruit, but it's not cloying.
Is that similar to a Liebfraumilch?
Yes. The German wines usually were, and years ago they all were what we would call medium dry. Mm-hmm. Liebfraumilch, white or Black Tower, Bruna, and all that kind of stuff. But now the Germans have moved more into the varietals and much drier, but still Rieslings with their fruit are starting to come out, and also Moscatos.
Ah, and what kind of a wine is that?
Moscato is it's a grape, and it's a varietal, and it's usually from Italy, and it can be white or red, but usually it's white. Sometimes it's sparkly. I used to sell a sparkling Moscato. It was astounding.
A lot of people like the sparkling. Now, just to backtrack a moment, for those our listeners that don't know what a varietal grape is, can you explain that?
Yeah, that's what the grape is, Chardonnay. Like, Chardonnay is the grape, and that's what it's called. And in the U.S., we usually refer to our wines by the grape, Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, Merlot, Pinot Noir, Riesling, whereas in Europe, they usually refer to the area they're from, because most everybody knows that Chardonnays are from a specific area, and Merlots are from another area, and Cabernets are from another area, and the village will tell you the nuance, the difference in the flavoring stuff.
Interesting.
And as far as telling you which area the Chardonnays come from, I don't have my notes in front of me, and that's why I'm not a sommelier.
No, that's very interesting. I'm sure a lot of people didn't know that. So the wine is actually named after the grape.
In the U.S., basically outside Europe, yes.
Mm-hmm. I see.
And in Europe, they're named after the area they're from, like Côte d'Aron.
I see.
Usually, I'm pretty sure that's a Pinot Noir. But see, like, the minerality, the soil, and all that, wine geek talk.
Yeah.
That you hear about terroir, and like when I used to do the wine show with Mark Spivak, he would say terroir, and I go, you mean dirt?
It's true, isn't
that's
it?
That's what it is.
See, the nice thing is you can put a French name on anything. Oh, you are such a dork, you're the D. And it's like you can say anything, and it makes it sound better, like a sommelier is, a like you said, a cork dork, right?
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
But,
hilarious.
In the positive sense, of course, in case any sommeliers are listening out there.
No, of course. It's great. Those are the guys, for our listeners that you don't know, that walk around the restaurant with that big scooper around their neck, correct?
Yes. And you don't see those so much anymore, especially since the economy took the nosedive.
Yeah, that people just want a buzz. They just want a buzz. They don't care about the taste anymore.
Well, what else has led to the demise of sommeliers strolling around is the Internet and smartphones.
Ah, okay. Okay.
And now the big thing in restaurants seems to be going to, the iPads. The iPads for the menu and the wine list, and actually some of them give you the option of, when you click on a wine, it'll connect to the Internet and give you the latest ratings and that kind of stuff.
Ah, so nothing is left to chance. You can actually look at a bottle and about 3 seconds, have a whole rundown, have a whole dossier on your wine, if you will.
Yes, exactly right. But some of the restaurants have found that to be counterproductive because it shows that it slows down their turn, their seating turn, because people get on these things and they go, and the waiters are going, order already, will ya?
Exactly. I can imagine. So now, okay, right now the popular wines are the Merlots, correct?
Well, not as much. I would say in reds, Cabernet, and
okay.
Pinot Noir are tied. And then, of course, Chardonnay is a perennial favorite, and Riesling is up there. Now, Chardonnay is changing. They're going away from the overly oaked Chardonnays from California that taste more like vanilla and toast to the stainless steel or concrete-aged ones where they don't pick up any flavors, and you get more of the Chardonnay fruit come through. That's more what we call like steely. And or lean, and that's more the European type thing. And that goes back to the area, because depending on how the winemaker makes it, and the dirt, and all that kind of stuff.
And all that stuff. Now, and the oak taste, all that stuff comes from the barrel, correct?
The toast, yeah, the tannins come from the barrel. You get that vanilla, and you get that toastiness.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there's a wine out there, it's a Chard called Toasted Head.
I've seen that.
Now, sometimes I'm way into that. You know, it's people go, what's your favorite wine? It's a, what are we doing?
Exactly. What are you up to? Right, exactly. Now, I'm a big Chardonnay fan, and I know you recommended a Chardonnay from California. It's from Robert Semler.
Mm-hmm. I can't say enough good stuff about that. And it ain't cheap.
How much is it?
Chardonnay's probably... It's like $30, $35, something. It's like that with Farniente, but it's astounding. I know the winemaker, and I know the people that own it. And in all fairness, I used to sell it, but I'm a big fan. And they make a great Pinot as well, Pinot Noir.
Really? And that's Robert Stemler, is that correct?
Right.
Okay. And now I have a wine that I like. This one isn't, it's not probably as expensive as that, but you must be familiar with Chalk Hill.
Sure.
I love it.
Wonderful.
I love the Chalk Hill. Do you like it?
Yes, very nice, very nice.
Mm-hmm. I like that too.
And there's a lot, but like we were talking before we went on the air here about approachability of wine and things like that, and that's what I'm trying to get across to people, because the amount of real wine drinkers we have in this country is like 5% of the population.
The rest are drinking Budweiser, what?
Yeah, well, they're drinking Budweiser, or they're drinking spirits, or they're not drinking at all. Poor people.
So, I love when they have these things. They say, put this in your wine bottle for your leftover wine. And I'm thinking, the special corks and stuff. And I'm thinking, leftover wine? People have that?
Yeah, that's a contradiction in terms,
isn't it? It's like, no, I don't think so. So,
like best of Van Halen.
Exactly. Oh, I like Van Halen. Not a Van Halen.
Oh, okay.
I like to drink.
The Motley Crue. There you go.
And listen to Van Halen. What do you see now as coming up? Do you see any trends on the horizon?
Well, like I say, the Moscato, I think, is really coming on strong. Because it's got that slightly sweet flavor, that medium dry, and the sweetness, again, not from sugar but from fruit. And people are starting to go, okay, I'm not going to pretend that I'm this big Cabernet fan, because they can't afford it anymore. Their pocketbook is bringing them into reality. Ooh, write that one down.
Great.
But seriously, that's
great. You know, that brings me to my next question. Do you always is it imperative that you spend a lot of money to get a good wine? Do you have to really spend? I mean, can you say that there
absolutely are... not.
Okay, good.
If this is when I was where I was going before, it was the approachability of wine. As I would go to a local wine purveyor, especially if it's a chain.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm assuming that your show is probably worldwide.
Absolutely, we're on the internet.
Yeah. So, but I mean, if you're in South Florida, you would, or in Florida, you would go to ABC. If you were in New York, you would go to what's that place down in Manhattan? Well, nonetheless, where I'm going is go to their wine tastings. If it's $10 or $15 to get in the door, the better, because it'll filter out the riffraff, and you'll get a better class of wine that you can taste. And there's hundreds of wines you can taste, and you can really refine your own palate as to what you like. Don't worry about the idiot that brings his own fishbowl glass, you know, and sniffs and makes all these pronunciations and pontificates about the wine. This guy, nobody liked him in high school, so ignore him.
And if he's drinking wine out of a brandy snifter, you don't want to be near him anyway.
Yeah, well, you know, that's a good thing to have a big glass for your wine, because you want to swirl it, because you can smell 10,000 different tastes and smell 10,000 different smells and taste 5 different tastes. So when you're drinking wine, you want to take that big sniff because your nose goes, okay, look for this, look for tobacco, look for toast, look for grapes or whatever your nose, and then tells your tongue, the 5 different tastes on your tongue, okay, this is what's coming down, so pay attention to this particular thing and you'll appreciate the wine more.
Excellent,
Yeah.
So go to wine tastings. Go to wine tastings if you want to educate yourself and find out really what you like. It's like art, isn't it? You go after what you like.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Very well put. Mm-hmm. Smart and pretty. I like you.
Well, thank you. It has been a pleasure having you on the show today. Is there a website that
you need to get out more?
Oh, I know. Believe me, I do. I do. I don't believe it or not. I do more than just sit here and talk about wine. Although I could, I would love to.
Okay, before we run off, I wanted to give one little piece of advice for folks when they're drinking wine. It's the 20-20 rule.
Go ahead.
If you're drinking white wine, take it out of the refrigerator 20 minutes before you're going to drink it. If you're drinking red wine, put it in the refrigerator for 20 minutes.
Interesting. Now, I didn't know that. Now, why would you do that, say, with a Chardonnay? Because wouldn't you want to drink that cold or no?
The colder it is, the more the flavor closes up.
Ah. Mm-hmm.
So you want it like room temperature, but see, room temperature is castles in Europe. 55 to 60 degrees for whites, for reds, and maybe a little bit colder for whites. But you'd be surprised how much better the wines are when you follow the 20-20 rule.
Excellent, the 20-20 rule. 20-20 hindsight.
Yeah, well, you know, easy for you to say.
I love it. Thank you so much. You have been, now listen, what if people want to, you know more about wine? Do you have a website we can visit you at, or can you give us some information?
No, I'm on Facebook.
Okay, under?
Uncorked, UNCORKED with an exclamation point.
Great, and people can follow you there?
Yes.
Okay, that's Uncorked.
Not everywhere, some of it, yes.
With an exclamation point. Great. Well, Merit, it's been a pleasure having you on the show today. Our guest today has been Merit Rathje. Thank you, Merit.
Thank you.
And thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll be right back after this message.